Lecture topic, the youth, asset or liability, part 1.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihil majid wa furqanihil hamid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فما آمن لموسى إلا ذرية من قومه على خوف من فرعون وملئهم أن يفتنهم وإن فرعون لعال في الأرض وإنه لمن المسرفين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من سره أن ينظر إلى سيد شباب أهل الجنة فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِلَى الْحُسَيْنِ بْنِ عَلِي أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, Allah Rabbul Izzat has blessed the youth of every time with phenomenal talent and exceptional courage. But at the same time, they are extremely vulnerable and susceptible. Hence, if their talent and their courage is not nurtured and it's not harnessed, the havoc they will cause and the problems they will create is, wallah, worse than the adults of this world put together. The lad that Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam was instructed to kill, the Quran says, فَخَشِينَا أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا تُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. We feared that this young child will grow up and rebel. But that's not all. He was going to influence his parents also into disbelief. Hence I believe very strongly that a youngster never moves by himself. If he advances in good, then he takes a nation with him. And if he plunges in evil, wallah, an entire nation drowns with him. Allah said, فَخَشِينَا أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا تُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. We feared that this boy will grow up and he will rebel and he will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we will value the talent of this young man and we will value the skills of this young man, wallah, the horizons he will explore and the heights he will climb and the value he will add, it will take decades and generations to achieve this. The salient feature of a young man is courage. Nothing is too daunting for him. In fact, he likes things that will challenge him. This is his nature. Unfortunately, the problem we are facing today is the slogans that are being chanted and the echoes that have been whispered to our youth is to abuse their talent. So typically a young boy sitting amongst his peers, the whispers he will hear is, I dare you to needle that car to 220. I dare you to flirt this woman. I dare you to pop 10 pearls. My Nabi said in the riwayat of Bayhaqi, الشَّبَابُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْجُنُونَ. Youth is a portion of insanity. A man who is not sane, who is not normal, who has these provocations of youth around him. Can you imagine the chaos he's going to cause on earth? If only we could, like Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi said, Ya la fasad al-dhawq, ya la su'il ikhtiyar. What an evil taste, what a despicable choice. Ya la fasad al-dhawq, ya la su'il ikhtiyar. This is when Bani Israel were favored with divine food. They said, we're not happy with this food. لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا. We're not happy with divine food. Tell Allah to arrange something else. What an evil choice that you're substituting divine food and nourishment. But if only we could communicate the correct message to this young boy via the very medium through which we communicate in the wrong message. What is that? The billboards, the internet, and the cell phone. And let me digress for a minute and say, and put on record, Islam per se does not have a problem with the advancement of technology. In fact, I can substantiate to you from the light of Quran, through the indications of Quran, that advancement in technology is a bounty and a boon from Allah. Surah An-Nahl in the 14th juz, where Allah speaks about the bee. Imam Qurtubi writes that another name of this chapter is Ni'am. Ni'am is the plural of the word Ni'ma, which means bounty, favor and boon. The name of this chapter is bounty simply because Allah highlights His bounties in this chapter. What are the bounties that Allah highlights? وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعٌ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُنُونَ Allah says, we created the animal kingdom for you. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ You derive warmth from their skin in the forms of jackets, in the forms of jerseys, in the forms of sweaters. وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ Many you slaughter and you consume. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ And when you take them to the meadows and they cover the fields early in the morning to graze, and when they return, it is a striking sight, it is appealing to the eye. وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَى بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا And they carry your burden to those locations which you cannot do yourself, but by exerting yourself. وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرِ Then Allah says, the horse, the mule and the donkey, I have created for your conveyance. And now I come to the ayah that I want to share with you. وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ And Allah says, I will continue innovating modes of transport for you in the years to come, which you currently cannot comprehend. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi writes under this verse and another verse, وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُم مِّن مِثْلِهِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ He said, it is correct for a person to say, and I don't say this on my strength, he has said it. It is correct for a person to say that Allah has made mention of the train, the plane, the cycle, and all modern forms of transport in the Quran. And he also goes on to say, Allah's knowledge is complete. At the time of the revelation, Allah could have revealed that this is the transport that I will create for you, but obviously it would have been difficult for men to fathom at that time, what is an aircraft, what is a Concorde? Hence Allah uses the phrase, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I will continue innovating for you and creating for you that which you don't know. So technology per se, this is mentioned under ni'mat, bounty and boon. However, immediately after that, Allah switches discussion. Now, رَبْتْ بَيْنَ الْآيَاتِ And that is the tie between the verses. This is a very intricate science of the Qur'an. To understand and comprehend the tie between two verses, this is a very, very intricate science of the Qur'an. But anyway, Allah switches the discussion to spiritual transport and spiritual roads. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ قَصْدُ السَّبِيلِ وَمِنْهَا جَائِرِ And Allah says there is one pathway also, not on this earth, but a spiritual one that leads to Allah. Tafsir Uthmani, on the strength of that, in the footnotes it is written. What is written? That after speaking of the mode of transport and conversing and traveling on this earth, moving from point A to point B, Allah reminds us of the spiritual journey. In essence, if you may comprehend the tie, that use these modern forms of transport and reach Allah. Hence, technology per se is a ni'mah. But a golden principle we ought to understand categorically. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ They ask you regarding the consumption of alcohol. One villager was asked, لِمَ لَا تَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرِ Why don't you consume alcohol? He said, كَيْفَ أَشْرَبُ مَا يَشْرَبُ عَقْلِي How can I consume something which consumes my intelligence? كَيْفَ أَشْرَبُ مَا يَشْرَبُ عَقْلِي How can I consume something which consumes my intelligence? So they ask you regarding the consumption of alcohol. Allah says, قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ Say unto them, in the consumption of alcohol, there are multiple harms. However, there is a host of benefits. مَنَافِع, the plural of the word manfa. Many doctors will tell you, in moderation, a glass per day will enhance your memory skills, etc. The Quran doesn't deny this. But then the Quran draws our attention to a vital principle. And that is the call you need to make, my brother. Do I give my son this mobile phone or not? وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا Allah said, however the ruling is, when the evil surpasses the good, then it is general forbidden and prohibition. When the evil dominates the good, then obviously precaution and restraint has to be exercised. When we travel on the car in the mode of transport, what is the dua taught to us? Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. Now again, reflect over the encompassing nature of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is Allah who has made this mode of transport subservient to us. Be it the camel, you look at the modern form of planes and you look at it. Now obviously you cannot dare go into the flight deck. You can well imagine the consequences. But before 9/11, on many of my humble travels, I had the good fortune to enter the cockpit, the flight deck, and to see, it is absolutely mind-boggling to comprehend the intelligence that Allah has favored. Again, the dua, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. Allah has made this subservient to us. Wama kunna lahu muqrinin. It wasn't humanly possible to do this independently. And then immediately, wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Today we're traveling on this earth, but one day we're traveling to Allah. So use technology, but don't abuse technology. So what I was saying is, if only we could seize the very means of transport and communicate the correct message to the youth via the very billboards on which we see nudity and semi-nudity, through the very internet and the very mobile network, wallah, you would have seen such a talent of this ummah of the youth. Because it is the youth and them alone who have the conviction of their courage. Nobody else has the conviction of his courage. Many people aspire to do good, but because of many other factors, they cannot implement their aspiration. But a young man, when he's decided what he wants, nobody comes in his way. He will look straight in the eye of the tyrant and the dictators of his time. And throughout history, this has been proven. The verse I recited before you, فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَىٰ إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ عَلَىٰ خَوْفٍ مِّن فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِمْ أَن يَفْتِنَهُمْ Prior to the coming of Musa alayhi salam, the atrocities of Pharaoh had reached a climax, a boiling point. And people anticipated the coming of Musa alayhi salatu was salam. But when Musa alayhi salam came, obviously because of the implications that Pharaoh would bring about upon those who would accept the message of Musa, hence many people were skeptical in accepting the message of Musa alayhi salatu was salam. Despite knowing this is the truth, simply because of the fear, the awe, the interrogation, the intimidation of Pharaoh. And today we know this year, and we cannot deny this reality, that for many other reasons a person conceals or camouflages his identity, knowing very well what is the correct thing. But the Quran says, if it was anybody who knew what they wanted, and could look with a dirty eye in the eye of Pharaoh, it was the youth of that time. فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَىٰ فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَىٰ إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ عَلَىٰ خَوْفٍ مِّن فِرْعَوْنَ It was a handful of youth. Ibn Kathir says, Shabab, youth in the prime of their life. It was these youth who took the first step, embraced the faith of Musa, paved the way, made it conducive for the believers, and ultimately the entire Bani Israel, the Sibti, 600,000 accepted Islam. It was the strength of a handful of youth who could mobilize such an entire ummah. This is the strength of the youth when they become an asset. Imam Bukhari quotes a chapter, Babun la yadkhulu ad-dajjal al-Madinah, on the strength of Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ya'ti Dajjal. Dajjal will come to Medina. وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْهِ أَن يَدْخُلَ النِّقَابَ الْمَدِينَةِ But he will be barred from entering into Medina. يَنْزِلُ بَعْضَ السِّبَاخِ أَلَّتِي بِالْمَدِينَةِ He will roam on the outskirts of Medina. يَأْتِي إِلَيْهِ رَجُلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أو مِنْ خَيْرِ النَّاسِ One of the residents of Medina will come out and he will engage Dajjal. My Nabi says in the riwayat of Bukhari, he will be the noblest of the people of that time. He'll go to Dajjal and he will say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ دَجَّال الَّذِي حَدَّثَنَا عَنْكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَدِيثًا I know very clearly, very confidently, you are the very Dajjal regarding whom Allah's Nabi had cautioned us and warned us. Dajjal will look at those around him and say, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قَتَلْتُ هَذَا ثُمَّ أَحْيَيْتُهُ هَلْ تَشُكُّونَ فِي الْأَمْرِ If I give death to this man and then I revive him, is this sufficient proof that I am the divine being? They will say yes. He'll then split this man in half. And then revive this man. This person will say, I am convinced all the more you are Dajjal. The hadith of Bukhari says, رَجُلٌ مِّنْ خَيْرِ النَّاسِ He will be the noblest person of that time. In Sirat al-Anbiya, in the first volume on page 584, I came across a riwayat. In conjunction with this riwayat of Bukhari, the riwayat of Bukhari has been mentioned, and then the following riwayat has been mentioned in the description of this person, whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, only he will take on Dajjal. Shabbun mumtali'un shababa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this man will be a youth in the prime of his youth. Mumtali'un shababa means he will be brimming with youth. Walamma balagha ashudda, when his strength and his faculties will be at its perfection. So really this is the vision and this is the talent of this young man. In the context of the political history of our country, we are well aware of the event of 16 June and hence it marks Youth Day in the commemoration of youth who stood up and oppose certain principles and policies of the previous regime, in particular being communicated and thought in a certain language. Today I thought I share with you a young man, also of African origin, Habashiyatu Aslihi, African origin, Abyssinian origin, Sawadu Launihi, dark skinned, Falfalatu Sha'rihi, curled hair, Hadathatu Sinnihi, tender in his age. I'm speaking of none other than Sa'id ibn Jubair, Rahmatullah alayh. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah alayh has written in his kitab two martyrs, do shaheed. Sa'id ibn Jubair was born 46 years after the migration of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Medina Munawwara. An era that obviously was rich with sahaba, an era of tabi'een. And hence this young boy had the good privilege of being tutored under the auspices of the likes of Hibrul Ummah, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Aisha radiallahu anha, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, and a galaxy of Sahaba. It is mentioned about this young man, فَمُنْذُ نُعُومَةِ أَظْفَارِهِ كَانَ النَّاسُ يَرَوْنَهُ إِمَّا عَاكِفًا عَلَىٰ كِتَابِهِ يَتَعَلَّمْ أَوْ صَفًّا فِي مِحْرَابِهِ يَتَعَبَّدْ It is said about this young man from the very inception, from the very infancy, from the very beginning of his life, in the initial stages, you would only see this boy do one of two things. Either he had a kitab before him where he was studying, or his sajda, or he was prostrating before Allah. There was no third thing in the life of this person. Like Allah describes the sahaba, تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا Allah says if you hunting or searching or trying to locate my sahaba, you will either find them bowing or prostrating or in essence searching to please me. You won't find them engaging in anything else. You would only find him with a kitab or prostration. Today's young man, Allah forbid, there are two things only in his life. Either he's fiddling with his phone or he's got a cigarette in his hand. There is unfortunately no third thing. I heard recently on the radio that a girl in the USA, in Pennsylvania to be precise, won an award. And that's also a question mark if it constitutes an award. But be it as it may, for sending the fastest text message. The fastest SMS. What did she win? $25,000. Now, it's estimated that she texts and prints 8,000 messages a month. 13 years old. Which leaves you with an odd figure of 266 a day. I ask you, what else can a child do at the age of 13 if he or she is engaged in texting and printing so many messages? We need to ask ourselves serious questions. Are we progressing as an ummah or are we retrogressing? You know, the Urdu poet said it, that you've advanced, you've excelled, you have progressed. Nayi raah hai, naya dunya, nayi kashti, naya sahil, naya moja. That there are new rivers, there are new waves. There are new lovers, there are new beloveds. There's no more physical address, it's email address. Magar unme koi cheez pyar ke qabil nahi milti, purani raah kya chuti ke ab tak manzil nahi milti. But while you advance and you excel at the cost of losing your values, at the cost of compromising your principles, at the cost of destroying the fabric of society, at the cost of dismantling homes, you need to ask yourself if you're progressing or not. Today in Dars, I told the students, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu wants to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I don't have to discuss the extent of pornography. Sayyidina Ali wants to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the ruling when a person is in seclusion with his partner prior to consummating and having relation, and at the time where there is an emission of fluid. He wanted the ruling in this regard. Does it constitute, necessitate a ghusl or a simple wudu? But then he reflected and he said, while undoubtedly it is a ruling of Shariat, and I have the rights to approach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I need to realize from a different angle, he is my Nabi and he is my father-in-law as well. Hence, when I'm going to ask him the ruling, it inevitably relates to the moments that I am in seclusion with his daughter. I think my modesty doesn't allow me to take the question forward. So he appoints Miqdad ibn Aswad. And he says, Miqdad, advance anonymously. Don't indicate my name, my bashfulness, my modesty doesn't allow me to divulge it and approach my Nabi. You know the extent of pornography today. It is said about this young boy, about the promising talent that he had. When he used to read Quran, people around him used to cry profusely. A verse in particular, إِذِ الْأَغْلَالُ فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ وَالسَّلَاسِلُ يُسْحَبُونَ فِي الْحَمِيمِ ثُمَّ فِي النَّارِ يُسْجَرُونَ. When the disbelievers will be shackled and they will be driven to hell and ultimately hurled. When he used to read this verse, he used to cry in a manner that he would make everyone around him cry. A young boy. In Ruhul Ma'ani, there is a narration. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi observed the fast. And at the time of iftar, when he sat down, for us we don't have concentration after Farz fast in our Maghrib salah. This is after a optional fast, he sat down to eat and a verse flashed through his mind. Unfortunately, we have the flashes of women. Flashes and flushes. He had a flash of a verse. Inna ladayna ankala. Inna ladayna ankala wa jahima. Wa ta'aman dha ghussatin wa azaban aleema. Verily we have amongst many other things, ankal is the plural of the word niklun, which means handcuffs. We have handcuffs. وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةً, and food that cannot be possibly consumed. غُصَّة, which will get stuck in your throat. وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا, and a host of torment and punishment. The verse flashed through his mind, he couldn't eat. The consciousness, I have been to homes. Doctors haven't yet revealed the news. There is potential fear that perhaps he could have cancer. Wallah, it is like there is a funeral and mourning in that house. One word of cancer puts an end and a halt. It abruptly terminates all programs. For Sahaba, for these people, Quran meant it. The next day he observes the fast. Again at the time of Maghrib, it's the flesh of the same ayah. Youngster comes, Mawlana, I can't stop thinking of this girl. The third day he sits down, the same ayah. He got so sick, it is mentioned in Ruhul Ma'ani, his son Thabit Banani, with two other companions came and they had to compel him and try to influence him to just lose focus for a minute so that he takes care of his health. But let me share with you a young man. In one kitab I read, Shabun Yatahaddath Anil Qabr. A young man speaking from his grave. I wouldn't generally accept anything till I haven't done some research on its authenticity. I then came across the very riwayat in Ibn Kathir. And you know Ibn Kathir is Naqidul Hadith. He is notorious for refuting anything that is fabricated or unauthentic. Ibn Kathir makes mention of it. There was a young boy in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yulazimul masjid, frequented the masjid. After Isha, it was his routine. He used to go and visit his elderly father. So routinely come, sit in the discourses of Umar radiallahu anhu. And after Isha salah, he would go and visit his aged father. وَكَانَ لَهُ أَبٌ شَيْخٌ. And as he would go and visit his father, كَانَ عَلَىٰ طَرِيقِهِ إِمْرَأَ. There was a young girl that also lived on that same road. And obviously this girl came across in a provocative, seductive way. You know, like one youngster said, by my nature, I'm highly inflammable. And they throw in sparks at me. By my nature, I'm highly inflammable. And he said, some of them are not sparks, they're explosives. So anyway, one day while walking, he fell for this girl. She invited him in the house. He was a young man, he was a human, he succumbed to a point. فَلَمَّا أَرَادَ أَن يَدْخُلَ الْبَيْتَ خَلْفَهَا. As they now get into the door of the house, she walking in front and him behind. Luqman Hakim said, يَا بُنَيَّ إِمْشِ وَرَاءَ الْأَسَدُ وَلَا تَمْشِ وَرَاءَ الْمَرْأَةِ. Oh my son, if need be, walk behind a lion and let it roar. Don't dare walk behind a woman. Ya bunayya, you must read the advisors. Ya bunayya, ad-dunya bahrun amiq, gharaqa fiha al-awwaluna wal-akharun, fa-in istata'ta faj'al safinataka taqwa Allah, wa zaduka 'amalu as-salih, la'allaka an tanju wa la araka najiya. Oh my son, let me tell you in crude words, but let me be to the point. This world is a deep ocean and the tides are rough and high. Forget about smooth. عِشْ فِي الدُّنْيَا مُعْسِرًا إِنْ شِئْتَ أَوْ مُوْسِرًا لَا بُدَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْغَمِّ دُنْيَاكَ بِالْأَحْزَانِ مَقْرُونَ لَا تَقْتَعِ الدُّنْيَا بِلَا هَمِّ عِشْ فِي الدُّنْيَا مُعْسِرًا إِنْ شِئْتَ أَوْ مُوْسِرًا. Love lavish or love adverse. Calamities and tragedies are inevitable. So anyway, he was about to enter the house behind this girl. تَذَكَّرَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ. At that critical juncture, he recalled one verse of the Quran. Now my young brother, I appeal to you, and may Allah transmit my message across the globe. You will also go through this clash of emotions. You might well pick up that phone, and you might well want to go start chatting. And there is this clash within you. there is a whisper of iman and there is a provocation of evil, which my Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Inherently we have left him with evil and nobility. Both are inherent in him. It depends what he decides must dominate. Clash of emotions. I had a youngster that called me the other day, and he says that many a times I jumped into my car, and I say this in acknowledgement to the Creator, Allah above, nothing of my own, tears in my eyes. He says, I was going to the club, and I was about to party, and then I decided, let me just on one of the lectures of yours that I have. And uniquely, it tied up with the same discussion. Allah be my witness, I took a turn at the door of that casino. There will be a clash of emotion. فَلَمَّا أَرَادَ أَن يَدْخُلَ الْبَيْتِ خَلْفَهَا. He was about to enter the house. تَذَكَّرَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ. He recalled one verse of the Quran. Ibn Kathir has mentioned this in the second volume under the commentary of this ayah, which this boy recalled. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Verily those that fear Allah, when they are afflicted by the influence of the devil, and they realize the blunder they have caused, they comprehend the mistake they have perpetrated, تَذَكَّرُوا, they repent, and they abandon that sin. He reflected over that verse and he collapsed and fainted there. Let me remind you again, Ibn Kathir has mentioned this in his tafsir, rahimahumullah. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ ثُلُثَ اللَّيْلِ, a third of the night passes, قَامَ, he stands up. And حُمِلَ إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِ, he is taken to his father. His father asks him, oh my son, what is the matter? Again the very verse comes through his mind, and the father asks him, وَأَيَّ آيَةٍ قَرَأْتَ يَا بُنَيَّ. Oh my son, which is this verse that you read? When a young man has the aspiration of deen, Allah will independently endow him with knowledge. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ma'riful Quran, in the concluding verses of Surah Mu'minun, this riwayat is mentioned. They go and visit a sick person. You and I would obviously understand the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would invoke the blessings, read the relevant du'as. But on the contrary, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud advances, whispers something in the ear of the sick man, and Allah cures him instantly and permanently. I gave you the reference of this narration. Nabi alayhi salam said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, what ayat is the shaykh with me? He says, O Nabi of Allah, I read the verse, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرُجَعُونَ. Do you think we've created you meaningless and you won't return? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has favored you with the selection of the correct ayah. Wallah, you have chosen the precise verse. If it has to be read on a mountain, it will also move. وَأَيَّ آيَةٍ قَرَأْتَ يَا بُنَيَّ, which ayat you read, my son? He said, I read, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ, and he fainted for the second time. But this time not to be revived, that was the end, and he passed away. Ibn Kathir then writes, rahimahumullah, he was taken and buried by night. In the morning, Umar radiallahu anhu was informed. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, let me go visit the grave of this young man. And Umar was Umar. Umar came to the grave, wasaha Umar. And Umar called out, Ya Fata, Ya Fulan ibn Fula. Listen, O young man. Listen, O the son of whoever you are. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. He who dies fearing his Allah, for him there are two paradise. فَأَجَابَ الْفَتَى مِنْ دَاخِلِ الْقَبْرِ. Ibn Kathir, rahimahumullah, writes in his tafsir, the young man answered from his grave, قَدْ أَعْطَانِيهَا رَبِّي يَا عُمَرْ مَرَّتَيْنِ. Umar, you talking of theory, I'm talking of reality. My Allah gave it to me. Umar, you are talking of theory, I am talking of reality. My Allah gave it to me. I call upon the youth in the hundreds that have gathered here. If any person makes an intention with Allah at this juncture, to abandon that sin, to abandon that wrong, be it chatting, be it SMS, be it whatever, I am optimistic from my kind, Allah, he will give you no less rewards. I am optimistic from my kind, Allah, in the condition and the environment that we are exposed to, Allah will give you no less reward. So coming back, Sa'id ibn Jubair, this was the condition of the youth. Sa'id ibn Jubair was initially based in Kufa. But this was an era and a reign of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, the notorious bloodshedder, where he knew if I present before him, it's my life or it's my iman. And both are sacred to me. So he sneaked out of Basra and took amnesty in Makkah Mukarramah, where he could conduct discourses of deen and disseminate the knowledge of deen. And hundreds, nay thousands would flock around him. And as you can well imagine, any young man who has deen and he will attract, it doesn't go down well with, unfortunately, so-called Muslim rulers whose primary aim is not to obey Allah. After a decade of serving deen in Makkah Mukarramah, one of the other governors of Banu Umayyah by the name of Khalid ibn Abdullah al-Qasri, he was posted in Makkah. And hence people feared that if things continue like this, I'm afraid your life is at stake. Perhaps it's time you relocate. So Sa'id ibn Jubair was a young man who had his priorities in order. He said, no, and now I feel ashamed. I ran once and I took amnesty here. I leave it to my Allah. Whatever he decrees, so will it happen. You know, in Tafsir Uthmani, it is written under that verse, يَتَجَرَّعُهُ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُ. Just in the verse lower down, it is mentioned in Tafsir Uthmani, which I read, speaking about faith, that whatever is decided, he said, aadmi kabhi kankri se marta hai aur kabhi goli se bachta hai. Aadmi kabhi kankri se marta hai aur kabhi goli se bachta hai. Sometimes it's a pebble that claims your life and you survive a bullet wound also. So it's not the bullet, it's not the pebble, it's the decree of my Lord. How can I run from faith? How can I run from death? قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Say the death from which you flee will definitely find you, grip you, locate you, apprehend you. And it wasn't long when the fear became a reality. He was sitting with his friends and one of the men of Hajjaj came to intercept him and apprehend him. So as he was being taken out, he said, مَا أَرَانِي إِلَّا مَقْتُولًا عَلَى يَدَيْ ذَلِكَ الظَّالِمِ. The way I look at it, I am going to meet my death at the hands of this tyrant. Then he said, listen my friends, let me share with you people something. قَدْ كُنْتُ أَنَا وَصَاحِبَانِ لِي فِي لَيْلَةٍ عِبَادَةٍ. Very recently, myself and two of my other colleagues were in a night of ibadat. Our youth will say we were on a camping trip, we were on a fishing trip, we were on a hiking trip. He said we were on a night of ibadat. We thought we'll just make an odd dua, perform a salah. But before we knew, we were gripped in spiritual ecstasy. As the young boy, he said, I only took a puff. And then I realized I was popping a pill. And before I knew, there was a woman before me. And the night went and it was the break of dawn and I was drunk. I call upon the youth of today. My young brother, you have seen the miserable life of that evil. You have tasted the fake ecstasy of sin. Someone said it very beautifully. أَهْلُ اللَّيْلِ فِي لَيْلِهِمْ أَلَذُّ مِنْ أَهْلِ اللَّهْوِ فِي لَهْوِهِمْ. أَهْلُ اللَّيْلِ فِي لَيْلِهِمْ. The spiritual ecstasy, the pious enjoy in the dead of night. Let me invite you to what Allah has to offer on a Saturday night for you. Let me tell you what Allah has laid out for you. إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَأَقْوَ مُقِيلًا. Allah said, stand up in the dead of night. This is very effective in grinding your ego and crushing your ego. In grinding your ego, in crushing your ego. So he said, before we knew, we were into a spiritual ecstasy of dua. فَاسْتَشْعَرْنَا حَلَاوَةَ الدُّعَى فَدَعُونَ اللَّهَ بِمَا دَعُونَا وَتَضَرَّعْنَا إِلَيْهِ بِمَا شَاءَ أَن نَتَضَرَّعْ. And then we were gripped, and each man was in his own condition of spiritual ecstasy. And before we knew the night was over, we poured our hearts out and we spoke to our Allah. And in that there were some common sentiments that came out in that dua. وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. Allah said, stand up in the dead of night, your words will be more focused. You'll have less disruption and interruptions and interference. No noise, no harassment. You'll know what you're making, it will come from your heart. أَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. So there was a common sentiment, we all asked Allah to accept our lives. Two of my companions have passed, بَقِيتُ أَنَا أَنْتَظِرُ. I'm the third one waiting, and I think my Allah has said, لَبَّيْك, the time has come. So he leaves. And as he leaves, he's then shackled. And after this young man is shackled, his little young daughter comes out. طَلَعَتْ بُنَيَّةٌ صَغِيرَةٌ لَهُ فَرَأَتْهُمْ مُقَيَّدًا وَالْجُنْدُ يَسُوقُونَهُ. Now my young sister says, I'm in a clash of emotions, I abandoned this, but you know, she sent me a birthday message. What they say, the best way of remembering your wife's birthday is to forget it once. The best way to remember your wife's birthday is to forget it once. So what does the young boy say? I'm in a clash of emotions. I don't want her to feel bad. Look at the emotions of this young man. Shackled. And then his daughter runs out. When she looks at this appalling sight, which would crack the heart of the hardest of humans, but not that of the tyrants. فَتَشَبَّثَتْ بِهِ أَيْ تَعَلَّقَتْ. She clings to her father. وَجَعَلَتْ تَبْكِي وَتَنْشِجْ. Now, you can well imagine, I have sons, person who has a daughter, the emotions with a daughter and then a young daughter is unique. She then clings to the father and she cries and she yells. What crossed the heart of this young man, Sa'id ibn Jubair? The merciless people who were escorting him, it made no difference to them. فَنَحَّاهَا عَنْهُ بِرِفْقٍ. He very politely held his tears, avoided the crack in his voice, kept his composure, and politely motioned his daughter away and said, يَا بُنَيَّةُ أُسْإِصْبِرِي وَقُولِي لِأُمِّكِ إِنَّ مَوْعِدَنَا الْجَنَّةِ. Oh my daughter, oh my darling, oh my beloved, the call has come for Allah to accept the life of your father. Tell mom to persevere and you also take courage. Jannat unites us. When this was the price that the youth have paid, how will we appear before Allah? How will we have justification? لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم يستعتبون. We will not give them time to explain reasons. We don't want to hear your reasons. لا يستعتبون. He is then driven into the court of Hajjaj. Now listen to this chat. You are live in a chat room. Listen to this. We invite you, Allah forbid, you know what has been said. You've now entered the hottest chat room where your fantasies will be exploded. You've now entered a chat room of Iman and you are live. You are part of it. We welcome you to stay on board. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ بِحِقْدٍ. Hajjaj, with his evil, wicked way, cast a nasty glance and said, Masmuk, what's your name? He said, Sa'id ibn Jubair. My name is Sa'id ibn Jubair. Sa'id in Arabic means fortunate. Jubair is derived from the word Jabara. Jabara means to reform and to rectify. One of the qualities of Allah is Jabbar. In Ma'riful Quran, it is written, while commonly translated as the Almighty, but it could equally mean one who reforms and rectifies. The plaster, etc., you put on your leg, on your hand when you're injured is called Jabira. Sa'id ibn Jubair, I am fortunate, that's the name. He said, Bal anta Shaqi ibn Kusair. You not Sa'id ibn Jubair, you are Shaqi ibn Kusair, which means you are wicked and your father is shattered. You are wretched and your father is shattered. So he very politely said, Bal kanat ummi a'lam bi ismi minka. I think my mother knows my name better than you. Fama taqulu fi Muhammad. Now our youngsters are having a chat. How you keep in, what you, and it just goes on and on. Listen to this chat. But you will need to avoid those chats for Allah to inspire you with these chats. This is a chat which my Nabi said, Afdalul Jihad. Kalimatu haqqin inda sultanin jair. The action that constitutes the greatest nobility is the proclamation and the utterance of truth in the face of a tyrant. So anyway, he asked, Ma taqulu fi Muhammad? What's your opinion on Muhammad? He says, Ta'ni Muhammad ibn Abdullah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh. Is the reference to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, yes. He says, well then say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells Hajjaj. He says, if you're asking about him, An-Nabiyyul Mustafa, khayru man baqiya min al-bashari wa khayru man mada, hamala al-risala, adda al-amana, نصح لله ولكتابه ولعامة المسلمين وخاصتهم. He is the noblest of Allah's creation, the noblest of the living and the deceased. Mother knows my name better than you. فما تقول في محمد. Now our youngsters are having a chat. How you keep in, what you, and it just goes on and on. Listen to this chat. But you will need to avoid those chats for Allah to inspire you with these chats. This is a chat which my Nabi said, Afdalul Jihad. Kalimatu haqqin inda sultanin jair. The action that constitutes the greatest nobility is the proclamation and the utterance of truth in the face of a tyrant. So anyway, he asked, Ma taqulu fi Muhammad? What's your opinion on Muhammad? He says, Ta'ni Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh. Is the reference to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says yes. Say, well then say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells Hajjaj. He says, if you're asking about him, An-Nabiyyul Mustafa, khayru man baqiya min al-bashari wa khayru man mada, hamala al-risala, adda al-amana, nasaha lillahi wa likitabihi wa li'ammatil muslimina wa khassatihim. He is the noblest of Allah's creation, the noblest of the living and the deceased, the selected prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He embraced prophethood and adequately discharged the obligation. فَمَا تَقُولُ فِي أَبِي بَكْرٍ What's your take on Abu Bakr? رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ He said, هُوَ الصِّدِّيقِ خَلِيفَةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ He is Siddiq, the successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هُوَ الصِّدِّيقِ خَلِيفَةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ The truthful, the successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَضَى عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ Diligently followed the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَمْ يُغَيِّرْ وَلَمْ يُبَدِّلْ Did not alter his piety in any way. عَاشَ حَمِيدًا وَقُتِلَ سَعِيدًا عَاشَ حَمِيدًا وَمَاتَ سَعِيدًا Loved a noble life and died an enviable death. In Majma'u al-Zawaid there is a riwayat. Abu Darda is walking with Abu Bakr. So while walking, unconsciously, unintentionally, he takes a step ahead of Abu Bakr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at Abu Darda. Ya Abu Darda, tamshi amam rajulin, lam tatlaq ash-shamsu ala ahadin ba'da an-nabiyyina afdal min Abi Bakrin. Oh Abu Darda, you got lot of courage, man. You want to walk ahead of a human that after the galaxy of Anbiya, the sun hasn't risen on a more noble human than Abu Bakr. You want to walk in front of him. You see the arrogance of the youth today, how they walk ahead of their father. It means nothing. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله. Allah says, do not be forward. You know, he said, don't be forward. Hold your back. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله فما تقول في عمر What do you say about Umar? He said, هُوَ الْفَارُوقُ الَّذِي فَرَّقَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. He is Faruq through whom Allah divided truth from falsehood. خِيَرَةُ اللَّهِ وَخِيَرَةُ رَسُولِهِ. The beloved of Allah and the selected of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. مَضَى عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ صَاحِبَيْهِ. Followed the footsteps of his previous leader Abu Bakr and that of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. عَاشَ حَمِيدًا وَقُتِلَ شَهِيدًا. Loved a noble life and died as a martyr. Let me share with you something from the life of Umar radiallahu anhu. There is a riwayat. Some people came from outside Medina Munawwara. They came to Medina. So Umar, as the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he went to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He said, هَلَّكَ أَن نَحْرُسُهُمْ al-layla? Are you on for tonight? We'll just protect them. They are visitors. At least they can sleep peacefully. He says, it's on. Now when they stand on guard and they stand on security, it's not smoking and SMSing. No, we were on duty from 12 o'clock. But what were you doing? فَبَاتَ يُصَلِّيَانِ مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُمَا. They rotated, one in salah, one on guard. One in salah, one on guard. In the process, they noticed that Umar radiallahu anhu noticed one girl was crying excessively. فَتَوَجَّهَ نَهِيَةَ الصَّوْتِ. So he advanced towards the girl. And he told the mother, اتَّقِ اللَّهُ وَأَحْسِنِي إِلَىٰ صَبِيِّكِ. Sister, fear Allah and please just, you know, soothe your child and satisfy your child, comfort your child, pacify, you know, in the USA they call, what we call dummy, they call them pacifiers. Pacify. So give the child a pacifier, if you may put it in present terminology. It wasn't long, the child was crying again. Umar again politely, please sister. The third time the child cried, now Umar. You know, first I speak to you nicely, I speak to you politely, then obviously, if I may call it the Umarness. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Araki umma su'in. Sorry sister, but you look wicked. Araki umma su'in. What's wrong with your son? La yaqirru mundhu layla. Crying from the night till the morning. He said, she said, Ya Abdullah. She doesn't know she's talking to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ya Abdullah dha yaqtani. Inni udarribuhu ala al-fitam fayaba. Listen, oh friend of Allah, don't complicate matters. I'm trying to wean my child off and he refuses. وَلِمَ يَا أُخْتِ. Oh my sister, why are you weaning the child off? لِأَنَّ عُمَرَ لَا يَفْرُضُ إِلَّا لِلْفَطِيمِ. Because Umar has stipulated a state allowance only for children that are independent from the milk of their mothers. Children that have been weaned off. I have some poverty, I'm trying to wean the child quickly to secure this money. He was shocked. He lost his balance. He said, how old is the child, oh my sister? She said, so many months. He said, لا تعجلي يا أختي. Oh my sister, don't hasten, suckle him. It wasn't long the break of dawn. Umar comes in the masjid, leads the salah. وما يستبين الناس قراءته من غلبة البكاء. People couldn't make out what he was reading. His recitation was inaudible because of the excess of crying. After salah, he said, brothers, please wait. He ascends the pulpit of my Nabi, alayhi salatu min Allahi wa taslimat. And he stands up and he says, bu'san laka ya Umar. Umar, once again you failed miserably. Once again you have failed. Bu'san laka ya Umar. Kam qatala min awladil muslimin. I don't know how many children have you denied the milk of their mother because of your policy. وَكَتَبَ إِلَى الْآفَاقِ. He then wrote, and he said that every child that is now born, from conception, that child or from birth will be entitled to an allowance. And this decree was then issued, which was then taken across the different states. The riwayat of Tariq al-Tabri, he received some clothing. So he distributed it amongst the people. قَسَّمَهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. After distributing it amongst the people, after distributing it amongst the people, he put on an entire garment, which is called hulla, thawban, a top and a trouser. And then he enters the masjid and he ascends the pulpit. And he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. So Salman Farsi said, La sam'a laka wa la ta'a. Don't waste your time, we don't want to listen to you. So Umar said, Walima ya Aba Abdullah. Oh, Abu Abdullah, which was his kunniya, explained why. He said, قَسَمْتَ بَيْنَنَا ثَوْبْ وَلَبِسْتَ ثَوْبَيْنِ. You gave out one to everyone, but you have two on you. Explain the second cloth where it came from, then we'll listen to you. He said, no problem. لا تعجل. Don't hasten. He called out to his son, Abdullah ibn Umar. Oh, Abdullah ibn Umar, come. Abdullah ibn Umar walks in. He said, نَشَتُّكَ اللَّهِ الثَّوْبَ الَّذِي اِعْتَزَرْتُ بِهِ أَهُوَ ثَوْبُكَ. Listen, my son, fear Allah, you in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just admit and confess, this trouser, was this not your share which you have given to me? He said, Allahumma na'am. Allah be my witness, it was my share, I gave it to my father. Salman said, you can resume al-an nasma' wa nuti. Now we're listening to you. His son Abdullah ibn Umar walks in. Labisa thiyaban hisanan. This comes in a kitab called, Lan talqa mithla Umar. You will never see the likes of Umar. That's the name of the kitab. Lan talqa mithla Umar. His son walks in, labisa thiyaban hisan, is wearing beautiful clothes. Umar radiallahu anhu slaps him, hatta abukahu, he started crying. Hafsa radiallahu anhu came and said, walima darabtahu, oh my father, with utmost respect, you want to kindly explain the logic of hitting him? He said, I don't have a problem with the new clothes, ra'aytuhu qad a'jabathu nafsu. I don't have a problem with the new clothes, but the way he walked in with that clothes, to me it looked like his ego was inflated. And I needed to deflate his ego. فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُصَغِّرَهَا إِلَيْهِ. I needed to deflate that ego. So that's what I did. There is a riwayat, the messenger of Qaisar, Qaisar sent a messenger to Medina, and he said, go to Medina and look at the condition of the Muslims. So anyway, when he came to Medina, he came and he asked the people, أَيْنَ مَلِكُكُمْ. You know, in today's terminology, the president's office. Can we meet with the president? Like I always say, unfortunately today, a person just climbs the ladder slightly and immediately becomes inaccessible. Now there's a spokesman. Now you've got to go via channels. You've got to leave a message with his secretary, his deputy. Umar was the Amir. So when they asked, Aina Malikukum, the Sahaba answered, Ma lana Malikun, indana Amir. We don't have a king. We don't have monarchs. Islam, we don't have monarchs. I don't have to paint the map of the present day world before you. Ma lana malik, we don't have kings. Indana amir, we have a amir. If you want him, huwa kharij al-madina tahta shajara. On the outskirts of Medina, he normally must be having his siesta under one tree. So he comes towards Umar. And he looks at Umar, and when Umar opens his eyes, can you imagine the awe of Umar? But the words this man said, I marvel at it. And I can't tell you the joy I got when I read this. He said, Ya Umar, adalta fa aminta fa nimta. Ya Umar, adalta fa aminta fa nimta. Umar, you governed with justice. So there's peace in your land, so you sleep comfortably. We don't rule with justice, hence there's no peace, and inevitably there is no pleasure. Adalta fa aminta fa nimta. Anyway, he carries on. He asks Sa'id ibn Jubair, فَمَا تَقُولُ فِي عُثْمَانِ. What's your take on Uthman? He said, الْمُجَهِّزُ لِجَيْشِ الْعُسْرَ. The one who equipped the army of Tabuk. حافر بئر روما, the one who dug the well of Ruma. مشتري لنفسه بيتا في الجنة, the one who secured a home for himself in Jannat in this world. سهر رسول الله على ابنتين, the son-in-law of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in relation to two daughters. ولقد زوجه النبي بوحي من السماء. And Uthman was not the choice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam for his daughters, but rather he was the choice of Allah for the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَهُوَ الْمَقْتُولُ ذُلْمًا. And he has been killed innocently, and hence he is known as the oppressed Khalifa. In Tariqh al-Khulafa, on page 258 and 259, there are 10 virtues of Uthman radiallahu anhu mentioned. He said, خَضَعْتُ عِنْدَ رَبِّي عَشْرًا. I have 10 privileges with my Allah. إني لرابع أربعة في الإسلام. I'm the fourth one to accept Islam. جهزت جيش العسرة. I equipped the army of Tabuk. أنكحني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ابنته. My Nabi got me married to his daughter, ثم توفيت. Then she passed away. فأنكحني ابنته الأخرى. Then my Nabi gave me his other daughter in my nikah. وما وضعت يميني على فرجي منذ بايعت بها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And as a mark of respect, after putting my hand in the hand of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة. لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين. Indeed, Allah was pleased with the Sahaba, Bay'atul Ridwan, when they put their hand in the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After putting my hand in the hand of Nabi alayhi salam, as a mark of respect, I never put my right hand on my private organ. I ask you, my brother, in the name of Allah, reviving the spirit of Uthman, when with this hand you have touched the Quran of Allah, I beg of you, don't touch the palm of a strange woman. I ask of you with this hand, when you have held the ghilaf of the Kaaba, for Allah's sake, don't hold that cigarette and that pill. I ask of you, my brother, when you have put this forehead before Allah, let it not enter a club in a casino. Uthman said, when my hand went into the hand of Nabi, this hand never touched my private organ. وَمَا تَغَنَّيْتُ وَلَا تَمَنَّيْتُ. I never in my entire life sang a song. But that's not all. وَلَا تَمَنَّيْتُ. I never aspired to sing. مَا تَغَنَّيْتُ وَلَا تَمَنَّيْتُ. I never sang a song and I never aspired.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.